Pastor Rick Warren often says, you were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. Now, before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Embracing the Vision, the Purpose-Driven Life.
Number one, you were planned for God's pleasure. So the first purpose of life is to get to know and love God back. Second, God formed you for His family. So the second purpose of life is get in a spiritual family and start learning to love other people. Love God, love other people. Number three, the Bible says, God created me to become like Christ. God created me to become like Christ. Now, this takes a little explaining, but once you understand it, life will make so much more sense. The bottom line is this: God wants you to grow up spiritually. When you grow up physically, that's automatic. You grew up automatically, physically, and you're an adult. But God wants you to grow up spiritually too. And I know people who are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old physically, and spiritually, they're still babies. God says, I want you to grow up while you're on earth, grow up spiritually. This is the kindergarten, the preschool, the dress rehearsal. Grow up to be like my son. Jesus Christ is the model of spiritual maturity. That's why Jesus came to earth. One of the reasons He came to earth is to model what maturity is like. Now notice these verses. The Bible says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, in other words, those who chose to become a part of His family, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son. And look at the next verse. We look at the Son and we see God's original purpose in everything created. Now this is God's plan A, not plan B. From the very beginning, He said, let us make man in our image. God's goal has always been to make you like Himself. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not to become a god, but to become godly, to have godly character. You're never going to be a god, okay? There are some cults out there that teach you, oh, you're divine, you're a god. You're no god. If you were a god, you'd have all your problems solved by now. You're not God, all right? You're just not God. And so what God wants you to do is He wants you to become godly in character, like integrity and generosity and humility and all the characteristics of God. Now, God is far more interested in what you are than what you do. Why? Because you're not taking your career to heaven. You are taking your character. Aren't you glad you're not taking your career to heaven? Yeah, you're not going to have to do that one in heaven. But God says, I don't care really what you do. There might be a dozen different jobs. You say, God, what job do you want me to do? God says, your choice, whatever you feel like doing. Because I'm more interested in what you become while you're doing the job rather than what you do. God isn't interested so much in what you do as He is in what you become while you're doing it. Does that make sense? He wants you. He's more interested in you than your job. So any job can be used to grow up spiritually. Now, the number one question I'm asked as a pastor is, Rick, why is this happening to me? And I'll tell you why. It's to help you to grow up spiritually. Everything in life is designed to help you grow up spiritually. The good, the bad, the ugly. The stuff you bring on yourself, the stuff that other people do to you. God is not the author of evil. God never does evil. But God can bring good even out of bad. That's the cool thing about God. See, anybody can bring good out of good. Anybody can do that. But God specializes in bringing good out of bad. That's what Easter's all about. He turns crucifixions into resurrections. He takes a terrible thing, the death of his son, and uses it to save the whole world. God brings good out of bad. And there's nothing in your life that you can't learn from if you'll just respond with the right attitude. And instead of saying, God, why is this happening to me? Say, God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn from this? Every situation in life will either make you bitter or better. And it's your choice. It's how you choose to respond to it. So the problem you're going through right now, you can just think of it right now. Think of the problem you're going through. Every problem has a purpose. Every problem has a purpose. And the purpose is to help you grow up spiritually, to not be a spiritually immature person, but to grow up. And the model of perfection is Jesus Christ. Notice the next verse. Let's read it aloud from Philippians. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. So the question then becomes, if God's third purpose for my life is for me to grow up spiritually and become like Jesus, what is Jesus like? Well, the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These are the qualities that God wants to build in your life. He wants you to live a life that's overflowing with love, overflowing with joy, overflowing with peace and patience and all those things. Now, how does God then produce those qualities in my life? How does God grow character in you and help you grow up spiritually? How does he make you like Jesus? I mean, are you just walking down the street one day, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then all of a sudden, zap, God zaps you with love, and for the rest of your life, you love everybody. I don't think so. As I said, God teaches you these qualities by putting you in the exact opposite situation. He teaches you love by putting you around unlovely people. It's easy to love people who are cool, people who are like you, people you get along with, but he'll put you around some unlovely people. How about joy? Joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, circumstances. I can go to Disneyland and I'm happy. I come out, I realize how much money I spent, I'm not happy anymore. Joy is internal. And God will teach you joy in the middle of grief. How about peace? Oh, it's easy to be peaceful when you're out fishing by the lake. Hey, it doesn't get any better than this. No, God teaches you real peace in the middle of chaos. When everything in your life is falling apart and you say, God, I need your peace. And he puts you full of peace. How does God teach us patience? Department of Motor Vehicles. Oh, you've been there. Traffic jams, doctor's waiting rooms, 1,000 different ways to wait. Now, becoming like Christ is a lifelong journey. It's a process. It's going to take the rest of your life for you to grow up spiritually. Look at the next verse. The Bible says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. Some of you are a little behind, though, because you've been living your life not working on this, and you've got some catching up to do. Now, God uses troubles and trials and problems and pressures and other people. He uses all kinds of things in our lives to make us mature. But write this down. Here's the third purpose of life, to grow up spiritually, not just physically. You're physically mature. God wants you to be spiritually mature. He wants you to grow up and become like Christ. He wants you to develop spiritual depth. And you know why that is so needed? Because it is the biggest problem in our culture. The biggest problem in American culture is shallow living. No depth. Shallow living. And I hate to say this, but it's true. We are a nation of spiritual babies. What do you mean? Well, think of what a baby is. Babies are totally self-centered. They all think about, I got to do what's best for me. I got to think of what's best for me. They're self-centered. They're self-absorbed, they're impatient, they don't know how to wait. I gotta have it now, 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 now. I must have it now, even if I have to charge it. They're unable to delay gratification. Babies are totally focused on their feelings, totally absorbed with the here and now. They have no long-term thinking, and that's the way most adults are. I gotta do what's best for me. I gotta do what I feel. They're acting as if all that matters is here and now, not in light of eternity. They're living as if today only matters. They're manipulated by their moods. They're focused on their feelings. And the Bible says this: some people have such shallow soil of character that when their emotions wear off and difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. What you need, what I need, is spiritual depth. God planned you for His pleasure, so the first purpose is to get to know and love God. God formed you for His family, so the second purpose is to get in His family and start learning to love other people. The third purpose, God created you to become like Christ. He wants you to grow up spiritually, not just physically. Here's the fourth purpose. God shaped me to serve Him. God shaped me to serve Him. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "You shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb." Now, this is a truth we've taught over and over at Saddleback Church, that you are unique. You're not one in a million, you're one in 6 billion. God doesn't want you living up to the expectations of other people. God didn't create you to live to be what your parents wanted you to be, or what your husband or wife wanted you to be, or what your boyfriend or girlfriend wanted you to be. God wants you to be what He made you to be. And you are unique. And when you die and get to heaven, God isn't going to say, "Why weren't you more like somebody else?" He's going to say, "Why weren't you more like you?" And He uniquely shaped you, notice, in your mother's womb for a purpose. Now, God says there are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate babies. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental babies. God had a plan for you. And I don't care if your parents were good, bad, or totally terrible. Maybe they even abandoned you. The reason they were your parents is God knew they had just the right DNA to create you, and God was more interested in creating you than He was in their parenting skills. And that's why they were your parents. God wanted you, and He uniquely shaped you. Now, to help you remember how God shapes you and makes you unique from everybody else, we use a little acrostic here at Saddleback: spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. These are the 5 things that make you, you. I don't have time to get into these today. We have a class here at Saddleback. It's a 4-hour class that thousands of people have gone through to discover your spiritual shape. It helps you know, what kind of career should I have? What kind of ministry should I have? How should I be using my life? Because God uses these spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personalities, and experiences to make you, you. Look on the next page. The Bible says this: God made us what we are. In other words, He shaped us. And in Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Now, circle the phrase "good works." Before you were even born, God decided in advance what contribution He wanted you to make with your life. And He wants you to serve Him on this planet. God didn't put you on this planet just to take up space, to breathe, to use resources, and to die. No. He put you here to make the world a better place. He put you on this planet to make a unique contribution, to serve Him by the shape that He gave you. And nobody else could be you. And if you don't serve God the way God intended you to serve Him, then the world misses that part of the jigsaw puzzle. Now, another name for good works is ministry. And anytime you use your talents and abilities to help somebody else, you are actually ministering to them. Now, notice this next verse. 1 Peter 4 says this: God has given you, each of you, some special abilities. Be sure to use them to make a ton of money. Oh, sorry. That's the reviled substandard perversion of the Bible. Let me read the correct translation here. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to, read it with me, help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Now get this. You know the talents that you've got? I hate to tell you this, but they're not for your benefit. God gave you your talents for the benefit of helping other people. God gave me my talents for the benefits of helping other people. They're not for me, they're for you. The person next to you, their talents are for the benefits of helping everybody else. God wired the universe so that we would need each other. As I said, nobody's got it all together. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. Nobody does. That's why we need each other. And the Bible says, I want you to serve me. Now, when you get to heaven, you're going to love God in heaven, so he wants you to practice now. You're going to love other people in heaven, so he wants you to practice now. You're going to grow spiritually in heaven, so he wants you to practice now. And you're going to serve God in heaven, so he wants you to practice now. Now, some of you have a misunderstanding of what you're going to do in heaven. You think that when you get to heaven, you're going to wear a white robe, sit on a cloud, and play a harp. Folks, that would be hell. I can't think of anything more boring. If that's heaven, no thanks, God. But think about this. Think of all the thrills, all the fun things you can do on this earth, and this is an imperfect planet, and God created this. Think how much fun and all the thrills it's going to be in heaven. I mean, if look at all the fun stuff there is to do on earth, and this is imperfect. In heaven, it's going to be a blast. I mean, there you can do all these bike flips like these, you know, guys do and never crack up. You can surf the big waves and never wipe out. It's going to be unbelievably fun. But one of the things you're going to do in heaven is serve. Serve God. Now, here's the fourth purpose of life. To serve God by serving others. You serve God by serving others. You see, on earth, it's impossible to serve God directly. You can't serve him directly. The only way you can serve God on earth is by serving other people. So anytime you help somebody else, God says, it's like you're doing it for me. You're practicing on earth what you're going to do in heaven.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some incredible news to share with you. A very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to this ministry. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Let's be honest about this time of year. At the end of every year, there are so many ministries that ask for you to support them in the end-of-year giving. And you know what? We believe in every ministry that proclaims the name of Jesus, and we thank God for them, and I know it can be difficult to decide who to give to. So let me just give you some biblical foundations for giving, some simple guidelines for end-of-year giving. You might think of these three or four things. Number one, give to the ministry that God tells you to support. Go to God, pray to him, ask him, say, God, who do you want me to support? And you know what? I support you giving to whoever God tells you to give to. And if it's not Daily Hope, I still support you to give to who God tells you to give to. So pray and ask God. Second, never give when you feel pressured. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are to never give under pressure or compulsion or under guilt. So if you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give, because God tells you in the Word not to give at that time. Give because you want to give, not out of guilt or pressure. Number three, give to where you support and believe in the goals of that particular ministry. Now, every ministry has different goals. You know the goals of Daily Hope. Our goal is ultimately to take the good news, the gospel, to the 3,000 tribes left in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ, no church. This is the final frontier. That's our goal. It's called the Great Commission. Now, other churches and other ministries have other goals, and that's fine. Some only have the goal of just preaching in America. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you believe in and have a heart for going to the last, the least, and the lost, this would be a ministry you should consider supporting, because I don't know others that are doing what we're doing, trying to go to these final 3,000 tribes. And then finally, give where your gift will be multiplied. For instance, at the end of every year, there is a donor to Daily Hope who offers to give a matching grant to apply to any donation that we receive before the end of the year. Now, what this means is that for every dollar, you're able to give
This month, the Daily Hope, it's going to be doubled. That donor will match it. That multiplies your gift, like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000. If you give $25 to Daily Hope this month, the matching grant will match it at $25. If you're able to give $100, the matching grant will add another $100. That multiplies your gift. I would consider that as a factor in where to give during this month. Now, let me just say this. If you can't help us financially, that's okay. I understand. But I would ask that you pray for us. I'm so grateful for those of you who are a financial supporter of this ministry, that monthly giving month after month. It means so much to me. It means much to God, but it means so much for eternity to those who are hearing the good news for the very first time. You know, I don't take any salary or any income from this ministry. I serve it for free. And so you and I are partners together in reaching people for Christ all around the world. In closing, let me just ask you to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. And pray that God's word will be taught clearly, with compassion, with clarity, with simplicity in this new year. And that it will not only help you as you listen to these broadcasts, but it will help us reach people for Christ and disciple believers and build churches all around the world, especially in the tribes that have never heard the name of Christ. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your prayers. And God bless you.
Remember, as Rick just shared, whatever you give today will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. Anything not matched will be lost, so please contact us today. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. We'll say thanks by sending you the brand new Daily Hope Prayer Journal. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.